Hi, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to the third episode of OT Talk.
We're broadcasting right here on the Health Sciences campus at the University of Southern California.
My name is Alyssa Concha.
And I'm Rob Russo. Today, we would like to talk about the 36th annual conference put on by the Occupational Therapy Association of California.
And we were both fortunate enough to be able to participate that weekend. I was there as a student, participating in the student track.
And I got a little behind-the-scenes look at what it's like to be a volunteer.
What was that like?
It was interesting, I thought. The best part about being a volunteer is that you get to spend time networking with other professionals and meeting some of the people behind the scenes, and I really valued that experience.
You know, Rob, I really valued my experience doing the student track also. They offered all student-focused sessions, and it was packaged nicely for us at a discounted rate, which was awesome. And we got to interact with other students from different universities, so that was a plus.
So what did people think about everything?
Well, actually, I had the opportunity to talk to a lot of different people about why they came out and what their experience was like and what motivated them about OTAC. So let's take a listen and see what they had to say.
My name is Brianna Canclini, and I went to school at Milligan College in Johnson City, Tennessee.
What did you expect to get out of the OTAC experience, like the conference, when you came?
Mm-hmm. I'm a student, so I'm really just looking at trying to get as much information as I can about everything and kind of just laying the baseline for my career. Mm-hmm. But also, I chose to do the student track so that I could kind of network and meet students in the area because my classmates are 2,000 miles away, so.
Do you think that you'll stay a member of OTAC if you end up staying in California?
I do. I feel like it's good to be associated with local and national associations just because we are trying to establish ourselves as a career and building it in evidence-based practice. So I feel like I want to stay informed but also support my profession as they grow as a profession.
Cool. Is anything interesting so far that like just really stood out? I know it's the first morning, but
not really. The parking's really confusing.
Okay.
My name is Bill Wong. I'm an OTD student at USC.
Why are you a member of OTAC?
Well, because I believe it's important to be involved in our state association, and especially it's good. There are lots of great speakers here, and I think it's very good to learn from them.
Have you come to any of the OTAC conferences in the past?
Yes, I have. This is my third time.
So what about participating in conferences do you think is important?
I believe it's the networking with other colleagues in the profession, and of course, as a speaker, I love to share my knowledge to my colleagues as well.
What do you speak about?
This current session, I'm doing health literacy in the autism context. It is tomorrow.
Can you tell me a little bit about what you're going to talk about?
Sure. I think it's about introducing like why health literacy is important for the people in the autism community. I'm talking about the autism consumers and the caregivers.
So by consumers, you mean like families?
Or? Oh no, I'm talking about individuals with autism.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me just jump in quickly here and say that Bill has Asperger's syndrome and he's truly speaking from a lived experience. Let's see, is there anything that stands out about participating in the conferences that's really cool?
I'll say like presenting. I guess I was like, it is very cool. I guess it's like, as you get more used to it, I think it's like, I really like it. That's why I'm doing this for the third time, I believe. I like a few times more overall, yeah.
Is there anything else that you think that maybe is important for students to know about?
Well, I believe I came from a stats background, so I didn't know a lot about OT when I started, so I really use conferences as a means to catch up with my OT knowledge so that I don't get behind with my classmates as much.
Okay, so first, who are you and where are you from?
My name's Leah Endo. I am a second year in the bachelor's master's program at San Jose State University.
Okay, so is this your first time here at the OTAC conference?
It's actually my third. So I was here, yeah, before I was a OT student. I came 1 year as not. So this would be my third conference.
That's really unique, I think. So what brought you out the first time? How did you find out about it?
So interestingly, the first time I came was because I got rejected from my program. That was the same year, and I contacted a family friend who also got me interested in OT, and she said it'd be a good idea to go to conference. Because I asked her, what should I do in my time off, but also to get myself more known in this OT world? And she said to go to conference, and it was amazing, and I look forward to it every time now.
What about it helped you in that specific situation? I guess we'll start.
I think, well, it gave me the opportunity to connect with San Jose State as a pre-OT student.
That's right. Because so, at right. the exhibit, they have all of the universities that represent OT.
Right, and that's exactly where I met the chair of my department at the time, some of my future professors, and I was able to connect with some of the San Jose State University students that were OT students, and they reached out to me and you know, really shared with me things about OT, and I just felt much more connected to my school and occupational therapy as a whole.
That's a really interesting experience. Definitely great advice to show, great advice to give to students that are looking to apply, because then you actually get a chance to kind of, maybe before you start investing financially and visiting all these places, like go to one spot where they're all coming to you and talk to different people about, what does your program have to offer me? Why do I want to go to your school?
Yeah, kind of thing. Definitely.
So now that you've been coming a few times, how has the conference changed, or has it been pretty consistent?
Conference has been pretty consistent. I mean, it's just a wealth of knowledge that's shared, and just so much advocacy. And I think just the passion and love of each person here for OT is just contagious, and it's really encouraging as a student to see that. And it's almost gives us a breath of air going back to school and just being re-energized to learn about this profession.
For sure.
I think that's what it does to me.
So first, if I could just have you introduce yourself and let me know where you're from.
My name is Kyle Coloris. I'm a student from the University of St. Augustine. I'm currently an OTAC student delegate.
What made you want to become a delegate?
I wanted to get involved with advocacy efforts and just learn more about OTAC. You know, there's a lot of great stuff that's going through on in OTAC, but I want to be part of that picture, you know, helping promote our profession and advance us into the future of occupational therapy. And so this is the best time to get involved as a student.
What are the things, you mentioned that OTAC is doing a lot of great stuff. What are some of the things that you really appreciated that OTAC offers to OTs?
Well, of course, there's the stuff you see, you know, like the publications you get, these invitations, you know, job links and stuff like that through the emails. You know, I've talked to a lot of the guys in government affairs and advocacy, Lewis, Allen, and Kyle. They came and presented to us. But I got to know them a little bit better talking about the booth. And it makes you realize, like, how hard people are actually working to advance our profession and to, you know, really promote us and make sure that we are in the big picture of healthcare and getting into new practice areas, and you know, you get a new appreciation for what OTAC does for its members.
This next interview is with our very own Carly Wasserman, and we just talked about our experience during one of the sessions. Carly, I know we were talking a lot about our favorite sessions. Which one was your favorite?
My favorite was the student track one on the trunk and the shoulder girdle assessment.
Yeah, that was with Susie Wong Okamoto, right?
Yes, it was.
Why was that one your favorite?
Because, okay, so it was the last one of the day, we're all tired, and she had us just get up out of our chairs and start practicing transfers. It was really fun to move around.
Put your hands behind on their bottom. Reach over and grab them by their bottom.
Everyone was laughing and having a good time.
Yeah, it was very hands-on, and, yes. and I really like that one too. It stood out a lot just because of the move around mm-hmm. and interact factor, and then it was really applicable, I felt,
right.
just because you could see right then and there how big of a difference proper transfers can make, not
right.
just with you, but also the client. So I was so surprised at how difficult it was to get up with somebody all up in my grill. Like, sitting down with somebody leaning over me and then trying to ask me to stand up was actually really challenging.
Yeah.
So
it can be awkward. Mm-hmm. It's good to get practice.
Exactly. That too. It was a good icebreaker for yeah. a lot of us because they were
someone you don't know.
Yeah. And then, yeah. You know, we were also like the next, we were kind of what, guinea pigs slash?
We were the volunteers.
Yeah.
We were the chosen, well, not so much chosen. We were doing it because no one else went up there. But we
yeah.
had to do the, we learned how to move our pelvises properly.
Mm-hmm.
And she was showing, so we had to sit with our backs to everyone. And she was showing everyone, like, how we move our pelvises, how our trunks work with that.
Mm-hmm.
So we basically did the hula mm-hmm. with our pelvises.
Oh, that's right, that's right. She had us wiggle from the left yeah. to the right, and then, like, anterior pelvic tilt mm-hmm. and posterior pelvic tilt.
So, lateral.
Right. So I think she was highlighting not just what those movements were, but how much they can vary from person to person.
Right.
And how it's not, like, a textbook straight,
mm-hmm.
this is perfect and this is wrong.
And she talked about how we compensate.
Mm-hmm.
That was me.
Yeah.
She said I was using my shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that. But it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
All right. Then I want you to feel it as the patient. Okay? So therapist, go ahead and assume your hand position. Whatever way you want to. Okay. Now, therapist, help your patient lift off their bottom.
My name is Alan Salvador. I'm the membership ad hoc chair for OTAC, and I'm here all weekend to talk about the importance of membership to both practitioners and the students who are at conference.
Okay, cool. So I know you said you started out not as membership chair. Why? How did you first get involved with OTAC?
I was volunteering a little bit with the professional development committee and really enjoyed that process. As part of innovation project I had for my OTD class, I created a campaign that was geared towards increasing membership. It was an innovation project, and I realized that in order for us as a profession, especially here in the state of California, to truly be innovative, we needed to increase membership. That was somehow forwarded to Sean Phipps, who at the time was president of OTAC, and he encouraged me to take a more active role as membership chair.
That's awesome. So what is it that fuels what you do? What is it that keeps you involved in trying to get membership up?
To be honest, it is the passion of members and OTAC leaders who truly see the value of professional membership. And there aren't very many of them. As I like to mention, there's over 13,000 practitioners and students in the state of California, and of those, only a little over 2,000 are actually members of OTAC. And most of them are students, and of the practitioners, the ones that are members tend to be energized and excited about learning and attend conferences and try to participate as much as possible to contribute to the body of knowledge that grows our profession here in the state. And that inspires me and gives me energy.
So what are those values, I guess, more specifically, that you tend to...
You know, a lot of things have kind of been nurtured by my engagement in OTAC, and the big one really is responsibility and the duty that comes with helping our profession. You know, you take a look at all the things that we can contribute to society, to contribute to specific agencies, contribute to hospitals that we work at, and to our patients' lives. And we really need to begin connecting the dots in terms of what we can do for them. And it is our responsibility to all those parties that we work on their behalf at a level bigger than just a session or just a job. And that involves being a member of your professional organization at the state level and at the federal level with AOTA.
Is there anything else that you wanted to...
Absolutely. You know, students really are the future of occupational therapy. We lose a lot of you guys, and we have some difficulty reaching out to practitioners who may have graduated from school when membership was not emphasized as much. Actually, in the past, it used to be compulsory, but it's tougher to reach them. But we are reaching students now more than ever. We are getting more amazing feedback, and we are seeing numbers increase. So I want to thank students, and I want to remind them that they need to stay members and take advantage of the $100 practitioner rate, and know that the survival and the growth and the excellence of our profession really relies on their participation now and in the future.
What are the biggest things that you have to face in terms of challenges for people to be members, or what are those perceptions of, oh, well, I can't be a member because...
The big one is, honestly, it boils down to the money aspect. Individuals say, yeah, it's a little bit tougher, especially for students. You know, they run out of student loans, they are still unemployed, they have to pay for the MBCOT, and that's why we have the practitioner rate. But even after that, when they are paying back their student loans, when they are starting families, when they are building a lifestyle for themselves, you know, membership tends to be the last check that's written, and then they say that they can't afford it. But the truth is, they can't afford not to, especially with everything that's going on in healthcare, especially with all the changes that are happening in legislation. Now, more than ever, we really need to be powerful. We really need to be contributing to make sure that we're at the table, and all those things that are affecting us are affecting us in a positive way.
Our last interview for the episode is with Sarah Kelly, just on the importance of being involved.
Involved as state and national associations ever since I started practicing, because that was sort of really planted in my mind how important that is. And the benefits are amazing, because it allows you a chance to really network with lots of OTs, try to get the big picture of what's going on with your profession, the opportunity to learn more. And the volunteer part of it is the working part of it. But you still learn and you still engage while you're volunteering and you're doing your part to help support the whole mission of the association. So highly recommended to every student who goes.
That's all we have this week as we wrap up the third episode of OT Talk, bringing you the OTAC experience.
And it really was a great experience, and it was fun for us, and we hope that it was fun for you to listen, and hopefully next time you'll be there with us.
And educational as well.
Yeah, so we will be bringing you new and exciting episodes in the future. If you have any ideas or any people that you'd like interviewed, just send us an email.
At uscotpodcast@gmail.com.
And we'd like to thank all of the students and OTAC members that took the time to talk to us for this episode, and also Mark over at Red Light Management, who so graciously allowed us to use the tracks from the album Filling Up the City Skies by the artist Pretty Lights. If you're interested in any of those tracks, check it out on our website.
Mm-hmm.